in Isaiah chapter number 25 and verse number 7, it says, "And he will destroy or swallow up on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations." This veil is the inability to see our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that is in him, which he accomplished. And there are three aspects of salvation, just as there are three persons in the glorious Trinity. As the Father is the one who chose us, if we had not been chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, because it's not of him that wills or runs, it's of God who shows mercy, I never would have come unto Jesus Christ. I never would have had my eyes open, and my name would not have been included in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then secondly, the Lamb, the Son of God, came into the world. He's God manifested in the flesh. He is the Word that was with God, that was God, and the Word was made flesh, and he came to be our Redeemer and to pay the debt of the penalty of our sin by sacrificing himself upon the cross when the sins of God's people were all laid upon him. And he suffered under the wrath of God. And that's glorious. But the third aspect of it is when the Holy Spirit, who is God, he comes in his power as the third person, as the third player in this Trinity, who's equal with the Father, equal with the Son, but his own personality, his own distinctness in the oneness of God. It's unfathomable in our minds that three can be one, but it is the teaching of Scripture. Just like the Word was God, just like the Son thought it not robbery to be equal with God, the Holy Spirit is God in all of his magnificence, all of his grandeur, all of his godness, all of his eternal deity. He's the eternal Spirit. He is from everlasting. He has no end. He has no beginning. He's uncreated. And the triune God sat in harmony with himself, and he decided that the Spirit of God would come and quicken us and regenerate us and will give us life from the dead. He's the one that opens our eyes. And without him, I would never be relieved of my sin. So, I want you, one, here, to thank God that this veil has been removed, has been taken away, has been swallowed up, it has been destroyed by the revelation of the knowledge of Christ, by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to remember and to give him thanks and praise for all of his work, not just the opening of our eyes, but the conviction that we are blind, that we may cry out like old blind Bartimaeus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Because without the conviction of sin, without the fear of hell, without the fear of God, without the wrath of God upon our conscience, and without the oppression of guilt and shame, we could never come unto Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit, He had to convict us as well as to comfort us. He had to wound as well as heal. And this is the work of God, to open our eyes unto the gospel and enable us unto see the marvels of the riches of Christ, and to have our conscience cleansed from dead works. And so when He says that He will destroy on this holy mountain, it is by the preaching of the gospel. It is through Christian character. It is through prayer. God uses means. The Holy Spirit, He did not come on the day of Pentecost to minister all by Himself. No. He came inside of. Yes, He appeared as a flaming tongue above them on their heads, but He got inside of them and enabled our brethren to speak with tongues of all those different languages of the people gathered, and to talk about the wonderful works of God. So the Spirit's work of breaking this yoke of swallowing up or destroying this covering and removing the veil, this work of the Spirit is through men and women like us who believe His gospel. This afternoon I sent an audio clip unto one of the saints who supports us mightily and quite sacrificially. And I thanked him and I said that it may not appear in this life. It cannot appear. It can't be seen in this lifetime, the things that we are doing for eternity. But when we get into heaven and we hug that person who was helped because of our labor, our sacrifice, our love, our joy in heaven, is this going to be heaven on top of heaven? Because God uses means. He uses His people's, and they're giving, the preaching, the character, and the prayer. He uses our life laid down in submission unto the Son of God. And that's what our life is about, helping people see Him who saved us from our sin, helping them to understand that they've been chosen and they're redeemed and they have eternal life. I got a call this morning from a brother in Utah, but I met him in Northern California. And he was confused for so long and under such bondage, and he wouldn't take good advice, and so he stayed in bondage. But some other people came and helped him. Beside myself, and they stood by him and were in his shoes, and even as to when he was in a bad church, it was a man there who attended it and left, and who could speak unto him from experience and could point his eyes towards Christ. And to hear this man now, he's so clear in his mind. He is so clear on the gospel. And he suffers from schizophrenia, and he has to be on some medication. He has to take shots and some other medication to help to smooth him out and to alleviate some of the other difficulties. And he's explaining that, look, this is a fallen world, and I have a fallen brain, but eyes on Christ in the Bible. And to hear that he graduated from UC Berkeley in mathematics, that's no easy task. And he's looking forward now to go into grad school. And his eyes are just on Christ, and he is so clear in the gospel, but he still has a struggle, like all of us do, to believe and know that believing is sufficient, and the power that comes in believing to live the Christian life. And my exhortation unto this brother is that he that believes has everything that's included, life and godliness, the Holy Spirit, all things I need to live the Christian life. But to see him in his right mind and clothed and at the feet of Jesus and trusting that only by believing he has, and that is the key of the gospel that takes away this veil from the eyes of so many that's been spread over all of these nations, is I see that just by believing on Christ, the proposition of facts that are on the table, I believe, and so I have eternal life. I believe that I've been chosen, I've been predestined, I've been redeemed, I've been adopted, I've been made holy, I've got the Holy Spirit, all things work together for my good. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. I believe his way is best. I believe that I'm in a warfare. I believe that persecution is par for the course. I believe that suffering for Christ is worth it. And yes, those things are experienced and measured, but they are believed first, and they are believed even when I don't have any other evidence. And like Elijah told the hungry widow woman, make me something first. As the prophet said, only believe and you shall prosper. Don't wait to see. Isn't it what the Lord said? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. So we don't wait on emotion. We don't wait on actually conquering our sin before we believe God that he can do it, and that he will do it, and that he will give it unto us. And I was also thinking today about how he restored me on that Monday after I sinned on that Friday night and was convicted on Saturday, and on Sunday I had to come to a decision. Am I going to follow Christ, or am I going to risk my everlasting soul? But on that Monday, I was on my knees praying a prayer I'd said 1,000 times, but I actually believed the blood of Christ was not only all I had, because I know I'm a sinner, but sufficient. It would prove trustworthy. And this time, as I was praying for strength and for power over my sin, I believed the Holy Spirit would come for Christ's sake, and he would be sufficient. he would be enough. And I got up off my knees with confidence. Well, the Spirit is the one who removed that veil, who swallowed up and destroyed that covering. He opened my eyes. It's always the work of God. So number two, let's give God glory. Let's give him glory with our lives. Yes, we want to thank him for all of his work, even the conviction, even the pain, the stabbing of our hearts, the showing us that we are sinners. But I want to praise him now, since he did it all. He gets the glory with our life. Our life is not our own. It belongs to Jesus Christ. I owe him. I owe him. I was in my shower and I was just thinking that for what he has done, I owe him. And as my mind, it may run into my vanity of if I had played on that NFL team for years and had won some Super Bowls and had ascended up unto high and praiseworthy positions in this world, I have to come back unto reality and say this. My sins against the Son of God are something I don't want to heap on top of him. I don't want to sin against this great love. You and I want to praise him with our life, with the way we live, with the way we love people, with the way we serve, with the way we give, with the way we do, with the way we humble ourselves, with the way we walk uprightly, with how we treat the women in the church, the men, the parents, the adults, the children, is we want to be upright in our character and in our conduct because the sovereign grace of God has saved us. He destroyed this covering. He removed the veil that is spread over all nations. And what that means, I guess, thirdly, is that we are to go into all of the world and preach the gospel. We're to take the gospel to every creature. And I want to encourage you, my brethren, to be a part of that work. Not just in the United States, though America needs it. It's needed in Canada. It's needed in the UK. It's needed everywhere. Everywhere it's needed. But it's also needed in places where people won't go. And I think that Africa is an opportunity for people in the West, because they look at us, they view us with respect. So it's like if I'm in California and a man comes from Mexico or from any other place in the world, it's the only people that people from California are, you know, it's some cultures, it could be in UK, it could be China, it could be Japan, it could be France, it could be Germany, it could be Sweden, you know, Switzerland. These cultures are highly respected by Americans in California. But if a person comes from Cameroon, you know, if the people are going to be interested in their accent or their personality, but not necessarily thinking that this person has come to teach me out of a book. And that could be right or wrong. It depends upon each individual. If he's been called by God, he's been called. It doesn't matter man from California, when I come into Nigeria, I'm received quite differently than if I was coming here from Cameroon, or even from Ghana, or even from Kenya, or from South Africa, because the Nigerian culture is going to look at the Kenyan, or the South African, or the person from Niger with less respect than if the person came from London or Los Angeles or from Washington, D.C. or from New York or from the Bay Area. And I'm very happy about as to where I live. But he had me raised there to come here. And so what I'm saying is it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for men to do business. You can start some good businesses here. You got to be careful. But there's, and the business is an opportunity to spread the gospel. And because the man, if you can have prayer, you can have preaching every day at your, there are no religious restrictions. As we plan to open an orphanage and school, they will hear, by God's grace, the pure grape of the gospel from Monday through Friday, and then on Sunday. They're going to hear the sovereign grace of God. Because in the U.S., there are no orphanages. What we have is we have the group homes, and we have what we call the children's shelter, but there's not much freedom there to walk in and preach, is there? But here you have an orphanage here. You can preach the truth. It's an opportunity. If you graduated from university, or you just have a call from God, because a degree doesn't mean that you know God. It doesn't mean you have a gift. It doesn't mean you have a heart. But if you know God, you have a gift and you have the heart, come over and help us. You can teach in a school. You can have your own school. It isn't that hard, and our organization, the Sovereign Grace African Foundation, will try to help you. If you're preaching the truth, I'm going to try to help you to be established and preach that gospel. The opportunities is to educate children in Christ Jesus and a good quality education, and you eat and you have a nice place. It's there. And for preachers who know truth, there's just such an opportunity here. So that is why I came, at least part of the reason is the opportunity and the great need. Because this veil, it was spread over all nations, but it has been destroyed, and it's being destroyed as the gospel is going forward. And I personally, I want to go into other African countries. It could be Ethiopia. It could be Rwanda. It could be Ghana. It could be South Africa. It could be Zambia. There's just so much territory to spread this knowledge of Christ. And then you got South America needs the gospel. The Catholic Church has not been preaching sound doctrine. There may be a Catholic priest here or there who's preaching Christ. Martin Luther heard from a Catholic priest. He didn't invent it. There were Augustinian monks, and so they had the writings of a man like Augustine, which can bring you unto Christ, even though he had some things that were corrupted, even though he did preach the true gospel. So, in Mexico, in South America, in China, in Asia, in East Europe, in the Middle East, there are places that are very dangerous. Some men and women will be going there as the horrible things were being, I would say, feared and perhaps happening in a major way in Afghanistan. I know that there is some missionaries that were actually sneaking into that country when everybody was trying to sneak out. They speak the language, they have a heart for the people that they felt like God actually wanted them to be there. And I'm sure that they had a plan to try to keep themselves safe. But because we're not trying to get killed. That's not our goal. If the master says flee, if you're being persecuted, it's okay to flee, and it's okay to stay, and it's okay to sneak into a country in order to preach Christ. Just like they sneak into, you know, Saudi Arabia, or that. I know that God has his people everywhere, but it's also time to get going, to support missions, to send missionaries as churches, as Bible colleges. You know, it would be nice, I think, if some of these great schools that actually teach Christ in the power of the Spirit would have a program as to where, and it must be funded by the people in the West who have these resources, as to where you take men and women who have proven themselves, who have a gift, and you help to send them overseas into a place that has a tremendous need. That must be our mission, to be partakers in the work of the Holy Spirit. And then I will say this lastly, that if we are involved in this business of the Holy Spirit, of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in removing this covering, in opening eyes, in making people able unto see Christ, in relieving the burden of the oppressed. Have you ever had the bondage of sin? Have you felt the pain, the agony, the grief? Have you felt the joy of a liberated conscience, the peace of obedience, the power that God gives in the gospel to live the Christian life, the joy of being able to wake up obedient in the morning, the sweetness of Christ? If there be any consolation, Paul says, fulfill you my joy. If you and I have tasted this sweetness of Christ, then let's go lift the burden of other people. Let's be helpful. Let's spread this knowledge. Let's be highly compassionate. And remember how, you know, there is an eternal hell. But I want you to hear these words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. I just obtained mercy. I ain't nobody. I didn't need to do anything. Let each esteem others better than himself. Verse number 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, that could be in the United States, but also for the interest of others. Yes, it's within the context of the church, but it's more than the church. It's to go ye therefore. I met with one of the sisters who helps me with my meals here in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. And there's another sister in Germany who supports the unmarried mothers. It could be a young widow, or it could be a mother that was a prostitute and she got pregnant. It doesn't matter. She's a single mother. And this woman from Germany is married now, but she's a Nigerian who was a single mother. And the Lord had mercy on her. And so she has compassion on these single mothers here in Nigeria, because she knows how hard it is. And so she supplies the resources. It was her idea. And I'm on the ground with Ani Ekpo here in Port Harcourt and others, and I'm able to make sure, as the best I'm able, that the resources are able to get into the right place. And what this particular sister is a widow, but her children are older now, but she knows the gospel very well. She's been taught by Ani Ekpo, the pastor here at the Reformed Baptist Church of Nigeria. I've heard her speak of Christ, and I'll be speaking at the next meeting. I think it's going to be next Friday. But I'll be speaking unto these women on the gospel. But this other woman that is the group leader says, I don't just want them to hear. I want them to begin to evangelize. That we go out, we go door by door, we go and speak in the market, and we tell the people about Jesus Christ. And I like her attitude, that she wants them to learn first and to be sound in the gospel. But the purpose of them learning is not just to come together and to talk amongst themselves, but is to go ye therefore, is to go out with the gospel and to win this world, and to look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And so when I see this veil broken, I see this covering taken away, and we see eyes opened, and we know our own grief and our own joy in Christ and how sweet he is, and how there's hell to pay. There's hell to pay. If men don't hear the gospel, they will burn forever. But if they hear it, there's sweet peace, there's joy and relief now. So